member of the Oregon State Bar.
Yes.
That certainly is. Attorneys from other states who are not members of this bar.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair. I think I expressed my concern on this previously. If we had a better relating clause, I'd kind of like to get rid of the CLE requirement altogether, but I guess we can't do that in this bill.
Thank you, Representative Calhoun.
We'll be watching the relating clauses on these Senate bills, however, Madam Chair.
Other comments? Are there any other questions? Thank you.
We ought to have justices
operating under the
members of the Oregon State Bar with assault.
Yes, I think we could too. We're operating under the by unanimous consent. What I'd like to do is offer this as an amendment to Senate Bill 413. Is there any objection?
No objection.
Do you object?
Will that be in two places? No, not an objection. I want to be clear.
Clarification.
Be in line 4 after Justice of the Peace, and again on line 7 after Justice of the Peace. Both places add who is not an active member of the Oregon State Bar.
Thank you, Representative Mannix, for clarifying that. Hearing no objection, the amendment is adopted. Chair will move Senate Bill 413 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Clerk will call the roll.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Representative Yes.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Clark?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Is here.
Mannix?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Minutes?
Aye.
Chair Bowen?
Aye. Motion carries. We're now in work session on Senate Bill 284.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mannix.
I've had some discussions with a number of the individuals involved in this process, and I understand that there is some agreement in regard to some. I had a motion pending, I believe, when we moved off this bill. We had already adopted the A2 amendments. We had adopted the A engrossed June 12 amendments to the A2 amendments. That is, there was a separate sheet of proposed amendments. We were on the subject, as I recall, of a motion relating to the language of pages 11 and 12 of the bill, where I had presented a motion, and just to make sure that it's clear, I'll restate the motion, to amend the language at lines 18 to 28 of page 11. I had read it into the record, and I'm quickly looking for my handwritten inserts.
You don't like this?
No, that'll be okay, too. Here it is. And I'll read it one more time for members of the committee to change page 11, lines 18 to 28 to read. Upon appearance of the defendant upon any misdemeanor charge, and then we had an earlier amendment that would make that read. Other than a misdemeanor created under ORS 813.010 and ORS 811.540, before the court asks under ORS 135.020 how the defendant pleads to the charge, the district attorney shall declare on the record the intention whether or not to treat the offense in the case as a violation. The case shall proceed as a violation unless the district attorney affirmatively states that the case shall proceed as a misdemeanor. If the case proceeds as a misdemeanor, the accusatory instrument shall be amended to denominate as a violation the offense.
I don't know.
Whoops.
I'll find out.
That's. If the case proceeds as a violation, the accusatory instrument shall be amended to denominate as a violation the offense in the case, and the offense for purposes of the case shall thereafter be treated as a violation, subject to a fine as provided in ORS 161.635 for violations. If the district attorney declares an intention to treat the offense as a misdemeanor, the offense in such case shall thereafter continue to be treated as a crime. If the, and then we pick up with the rest of that language running on from 11 to the top of page 12. We would then also delete lines 2 through 6 at the top of page 12 of the A2 amendments. I understand that that language is acceptable to the proponents of the measure. And I'll have a separate amendment regarding some other language on page 12 in a moment. Or do you want to have me combine that here, too?
I'm sorry.
It has to do with the fiscal impact statement language.
But why don't we combine it all together, Representative Mannix?
All right. We would also revise lines 21 through 24 of page 12 of the Dash 2 amendments to read, each proposed legislative measure that has a fiscal impact on the State Indigent Defense Fund shall have a fiscal impact statement prepared as soon as is practicable after submission for filing. After submission of the measure for filing. I understand that that language is acceptable to the proponents.
Discussion on the proposed amendment. Is there any objection? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair?
Representative Mannix.
Double check to see if we have any more that are pending. I don't think there are. We just took care of that. Madam Chair, I move the bill as amended to the full committee with the due pass, to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. There's a problem with the revolving account that's created here.
Move Senate Bill 284 to Ways to the full committee, where it will subsequently be moved to Ways and Means Mannix with a due pass recommendation. Representative Mannix, we're not moving it to Ways and Means from the subcommittee. We'll move it to the full committee.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion?
Chair.
Representative Calhoun.
I'd like to amend the motion since the relating clause of this bill is relating to indigent defense. Section indicating that all attorneys that are or have been engaged in the practice of indigent defense will not be subject to the CLE requirement of the Oregon State Bar. I'll withdraw the motion, Madam Chair. We'll save that for another.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk.
All right, with me, if you withdraw the motion, Representative Calhoun.
What did he do? Did he keep it on?
He's withdrawing.
That had potential.
Representative, I think that might be the bomb Calhoun minority report.
Not too bad.
Thank you, Representative Calhoun. You just cheer my heart.
Is
there any further discussion on the motion, which is Senate Bill 284 as amended to the full committee? Representative Minnis.
Just a question of clarification. The bill does not have a subsequent to Ways and Means, but we are intending, as I understand, to ask for a subsequent to Ways and Means?
That is my understanding. That I think that discussion might be pursued further in full, and I'll be able to report to the full committee when we meet next, and this bill is on our agenda, Representative Minnis.
Madam Chair.
Would you oppose that?
The motion to send it to Ways and Means?
Motion to send it to Ways and Means.
It would be contingent upon the wave of common thought regarding this bill and how it will ultimately end up in the final analysis.
Human karma. Madam Chair?
Yes, I'm just thinking of the wave of human thought. Representative Mannix.
Well, I've been advised that we have assurances from the co-chair on the House side that it will be quickly dealt with, but they have to grant approval of setting up of this fund because there's a fund.
The definition of quickly dealt with that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, well, we don't need to deal with that issue right now. We'll deal with that in full committee. Is there further discussion on the motion before the subcommittee? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum.
Yes.
Calhoun.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Edmondson.
Aye.
Mannix.
Aye.
Mason. Minnis.
No.
Chair Bowman.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's do Senate Bill 966.
What are you up to?
Bob Castagna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Bob Castagna representing the Oregon Catholic Conference, which is the public policy office of the Archdiocese of Portland and the Diocese of Baker. I'm here today
testify in favor of Senate Bill 966A engrossed, which came to you at the request of the Oregon Catholic Conference, Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, Seventh-day Adventists, and the Oregon Independent Colleges Association. The bill has been substantially amended from the original version introduced, and now the bill would allow the owners of any private nonprofit elementary or secondary school building to file a civil action for property damage against a manufacturer, distributor, or seller of asbestos-containing building materials not later than 2 years after the effective date of this 1989 Act. To place this bill in context, Madam Chair and members of the subcommittee, the federal government has mandated to all the elementary and secondary schools of this country, under the Federal Asbestos Hazard Emergency Response Act, to file asbestos management plans. And I gave you a copy of the Oregonian article in your packet, dated April 24, 1989, and the headline is, Schools File Asbestos Reports. The deadline for filing those reports with the governor's offices of the states or their education people was May 9th. And to my knowledge, the schools under that obligation, and most if not all of the schools, have reported their asbestos reports.
Madam Chair?
Can I interrupt?
Yes, Representative Mannix.
In the interest of time, didn't we have similar legislation that allowed public schools to seek redress?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Mannix, the public schools, as a result of a Court of Appeals decision and existing product liability limitation statute, because they're governmental entities, have no statutes of ultimate repose or limitation acting against them in
so
product
okay
liability
to take
civil
care
action.
Of themselves.
That's correct. We have an unequal playing field.
And you're just saying that you would like private nonprofit schools to have some opportunity for a couple of years to go back against the manufacturers. What about installers? I didn't check on that.
No, it's manufacturers, distributors, or sellers.
All right. To seek redress if you can make your case in regard to the installation of asbestos-containing products.
That's correct.
I've got a question, and that pertains to the breadth of Senate Bill 966, and I'm looking to see, is this only, applies to an exemption from the statute of limitations for private
On line 7, Madam Chair, the language is, shall be commenced by the owner of any private nonprofit elementary or secondary school building, and those terms, nonprofit elementary or secondary school and school building, have the meanings given in 15 U.S.C. 2642. In my testimony, with my letterhead on it, if you look at the back page, those definitions, 15 U.S.C. 2642, are set forth for you. The definitions of nonprofit elementary or secondary school and the definition of school building.
That answers my question.
Another question?
Pardon me?
May I ask another question?
Yes, go ahead. Representative Mannix. And then, excuse me, let me interrupt before you ask your question. After this question is answered, the committee is being called down to the floor. Representative Mannix.
The reason we're limiting this to schools is that schools are under a special mandate to remove asbestos materials from the federal government, and that's why we have what I'll call a limited interest group bill.
That is correct, Representative Mannix, and I would in particular call your attention to page 3 of Mr. David Slater's testimony, which is in your packet. He could not be here at this hour, but Mr. Slater represented the state of Oregon in its pursuit of claims related to asbestos. And on page 3 of his testimony, he states, the asbestos industry is poorly situated to claim it is being singled out. Their day of judgment was delayed, but that was largely because they were successful in concealing the risk posed by their products. As the writer Paul Brodeur titled his book on the subject, this is a case of outrageous misconduct. And then he goes on to share two specific examples of the knowledge that the industry had and concealed. So if there's any merit, we believe it falls on our side of the issue. The equities are on our side. All we're asking is for 2 years' access to the courts to file our damages.
This is similar to what we've done in regard to asbestosis. We've allowed people to have an extended statute of limitations, and including workers' compensation extended time because of the nature of the condition. Well, here we're talking installation, here we're talking disease developed, but we're still talking about long-term development of something that wasn't known about at the time.
That's correct.
Thank you. there a call of the House, Madam Chair?
No.
Oh. Madam Chair?
Are there further questions for Mr. Castagna? Representative Mannix?
No, I understood there was another witness who appeared today. That's.
We're not under a call of the House. My message is that the clerk has advised the committee that we are not excused, but we are needed on the floor.
You'll be listed as absent.
We're in recess.
Committee's in recess.